Hey everybody, my name is Austin.
And I'm Colton.
And we're two close friends who have a desire to share our lives, experiences, and our pursuit of Christ, all from a biblical perspective.
You're listening to the Exiles Podcast. Let's talk about it.
I want to start off this episode with a question that we don't have the answer today. But this was something I was thinking about, and maybe we can answer on another one. And maybe you can just kind of tell me your immediate thoughts.
Okay.
All right.
I'll give you my immediate thoughts.
So we participate at our church in the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and we always read from one of the Lord's Supper passages in the New Testament right before we partake. And one of the things that we constantly remind ourselves of is that when Jesus says that he will not drink of this cup or eat this bread again until he does it new with us, in the new heaven and new earth. So I thought that was really interesting as we're about to start this conversation on church membership. Do you think that there is connection between Jesus waiting, or do you think there's connection to the importance of us gathering together to do the Lord's Supper and Jesus waiting until the church is gathered with him in the final day to do it again new?
Yeah, I mean, I think immediately, my immediate thoughts, Austin, are obviously, I think the Lord is saying something very significant there to go, man, I'm going to have everyone at this table again. I think that's kind of the significance, right? And so even though we partake to remember, he's going to wait and then partake again in the fullness and I would say the completion of what he started in those days.
Well, I guess what I was thinking is that, like, you know, we talk about the church. There's a right mode and a wrong mode to do the Lord's Supper, to perform the Lord's Supper.
Sure.
And so, you know, obviously, you know, you and I aren't getting together regularly to do the Lord's Supper. We believe that that's a... Right.
Well, we don't have a special relationship.
That's right. That's right. I'm just glad you finally just settled that in your heart. But, you know, like, is Jesus setting an example for the church to say that the only time we partake in this is when we're together? We can talk about that another time. I've been thinking about that and pondering that since our last conversation.
Well, I'm glad that you think and ponder often.
Well, you gotta, you know what the word says, meditate on these things.
Well, obviously, Austin, we didn't get to, you know, put anything out last week. Just so everyone knows, we're having a bit of a difficulty with our scheduling just because Austin is worst.
I'm going to say Jonathan.
What? Dude, you can't blame the guy who just had a baby.
That's exactly why I can blame the guy.
You're only blaming him because you know he's not going to listen to these episodes when he's not here.
Oh, man.
That's hilarious.
Well, I will say, this week he's not recording with us, and it's not the baby's fault.
Oh, okay.
It's not John Anders' fault. Widow baby Jonathan has a widow earache.
Widow baby Jonathan.
He has an earache.
And he's actually probably the biggest crier in that household.
No doubt. Oh,
For those of you who haven't met Jonathan, Jonathan has, for at least as long as I've known him, of us three, he's the biggest complainer that you'll ever meet.
I agree with that. I was actually going to say, you know, every time we've recorded just us, we used our banter to talk about Jonathan. And I just want to shift from that and say, you know what? He's not worth the breath of us talking about him in our intro every time. So how about the Lakers?
How about them Lakers?
They won.
There's actually a lot of banter I could come up with. The one thing I was going to say, I called Austin on the way over here as we were getting ready to record. One, LeBron's the GOAT. I don't care if you're listening and you feel otherwise. You're just wrong. It's okay. Secondly, now that the weather is so perfect, there's not a cloud in the sky. It feels great outside. I'm going to buy a motorcycle this week.
Oh, man. And in about 6 months, Colton will not be joining us on the podcast. No, but we also are recording at a park right in front of the Ross Barnett Reservoir.
Man, if there weren't so many people here, we'd look like huge creeps.
For sure. Okay, let's get rolling into the conversation. So Colton,
Elmer Fudd.
Impromptly, is that a word?
Impromptly?
Impromptly? No, that's not a word.
He
had a bit of an impromptu moment last time we recorded when he was like, hey, the next time we record, we're going to talk about church membership. So here we are. We're going to talk about church membership and the necessity of it. And so let me ask you, Mr. Fremont, why would you say church membership is a necessity for those who claim to follow Christ?
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I think for most of you out there, last week we obviously talked about our differences.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, sorry. Last episode, 2 weeks ago, we talked about our differences and understanding of the significance of church membership versus being a part of the church universal, the body of the church universal. And obviously we came away with slightly different, I wouldn't say beliefs, just different kind of
perspectives
on things. But at the end of the day, we also, both of us would say we believe very strongly in the importance of local church membership. And so I think
that, some of us just more strongly than others.
Well, I think, you just have a different inflection on it. We'll put it like that. The importance of church membership, I would say, that was your question, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, the necessity.
The necessity of church membership is one. I'll put it in a story format. I remember speaking to a guy one day just about different things in life. And,
you're using that voice again, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll take it. I'll tone it down. Apparently, I have a preacher voice, everybody, so I'm sorry if I do that. I was speaking to a guy recently, and not recently. It was a couple years ago, but we were talking about different things in life and faith and all these other stuff. And I remember him bringing up the fact that he was a Christian. And I was talking about me being a Christian as well. And we were talking about the different stuff. But I remember him very specifically saying that he does not go to church because he doesn't have to go to church to be a Christian, right? To be a part of the body of Christ is how he kind of put it. And his point was to say, man, the church is, the church is so shady and it's, oftentimes is doing so many bad things and that's not what God intended for it. So why would I continue to go? And I remember hearing that and just thinking to myself, like, man, this guy's missing out on a lot of really key things. I mean, he's missing out on the gathering of the body. He's missing out on the preaching of the word, the partaking in communion, like you just mentioned a second ago. Your church does this once a week, and we do this once a week. He's missing out on seeing people come into the faith through baptism, through believers' baptism, as well as just a myriad of other just communal things that God intended for his people to be a part of when it came to the church and to being a part of Christ's church. So the necessity is huge, and I'm actually really excited to talk about this today because even though I do believe that we can span different churches or different local church bodies and be very close-knit brothers and have the same responsibility for one another or have a similar responsibility for one another, I do believe very strongly in the necessity for local church membership.
Yeah, I do think, one, I would say church membership is a necessity because when I think about the death of Christ, ask the question, whom did Christ die for?
Yeah.
And when you get from Ephesians 5, when it compares husband and wife to Christ's relationship to the church, there's a command to the husband to love your wife and lay your life down for her as Christ did for his church. And so when you think about it, Christ, yes, he does die for us. I do believe individually he knows us by name, obviously, but in a grander way, that like his death is very corporate in the sense of he died for his people, for those who would come to have faith in him. And if you think about it, when we don't participate in the local body of believers, then we're really not exercising proper kingdom-mindedness. Mm. Like you think about God gave us the Old Testament to look at Israel as an example for what we should be. And Israel failed miserably at that so many times.
For sure.
But he doesn't, what does he tell Abraham? From you, Abraham, there's going to be many people. There's going to be, a great nation will rise from you. And a nation's not just made up of one individual. A nation's made up of several diverse individuals with different gifts and talents. And abilities to bless one another, to love one another, to encourage one another, to edify one another. The list goes on. And so I think you just see this this line, this theme throughout Scripture. When you think about the people of God, you think about many people gathering together, many people assembling for worship. You don't really see the solo Christian at any point in the Bible. And so I would say, just like from basic principle, Scripture never gives us an example of individual Christianity, but always gives us a corporate example of the body of believers gathering together because Christ died for his people, not just for one person.
I guess I don't quite, I mean, I agree with you, but like, I guess I also am kind of curious, like, what do you do with like the Ethiopian on the road, you know? Like, I mean, not to like take away, and I don't think that you're necessarily wrong. It's just, I don't know if I would speak so broadly about that because I would say that's a very individualistic, you know, singular situation.
Well, you're talking about individualistic salvation.
Like, yeah, you're right.
But like, but that guy, we would assume, right? Because the Scriptures lead in this direction as people, like you see Lydia, who was saved in Philippi, right? And then the jailman in Philippi, you know, but then from those two people, a church began, right? So
true.
If you look throughout Acts, when people are saved, they either enter into a local church or they start a local church.
Yeah, so let's kind of go from there. So let's talk about why, what are some different aspects about church membership that we would say that these are necessities. This is why you should be a part of a local body, that you should go every Sunday, that you should participate in small groups or discipleship groups, whatever your church wants to call them, fellowship groups, community groups, whatever. Why should you be connected to a local body of believers in your hometown or wherever you live, Austin?
Jesus gives us the command to love one another.
Okay.
And so how can I love the one another's if I'm never around others who believe with me? So Jesus actually says this in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." And then he says, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So how can you display the love of Christ if you're never around the disciples of Christ? So the church in that way is a necessity.
Okay. Yeah. To that point, I would even say that, you know, 1 John actually speaks that we are to have a special love for the brothers, right?
What?
Yeah. No, I mean, just for the brothers. I'm not out like, you know, this is why the church is so important.
Sure.
You know, we do have a special love for the brotherhood. We do have a special love for those in the faith.
And John even tells us in that, he says, like, hey, if you want to avoid these guys and you don't want to go to church, you don't want to, like, be around the assembly of God's people, if you don't love the brothers,
yeah,
how can you say you love God?
No, that's a good point. Yeah, because God, what? Died for his people, you know what I mean?
For the church.
That's a good point, man. So so I love it. So loving one another, I really think through, or one of the things that I think about that is really important when it comes to church membership, we said it, you know, on our last podcast, is about church discipline, okay? I think church discipline gets a really bad rap. I think it's also very misunderstood in a lot of Christian circles today. When we say church discipline, I often like to say, I rather use the word church restoration, right? Here's why. At the end of the day, Christ died for us to restore us in right standing to God. You know, when our brothers and sisters in the faith are living in a way that is contrarian to the way God has intended for them, it's less about discipline and more about restoring them to right standing with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says this really very specifically about a situation within the Corinthian church where Paul says, "There is one among you who is so sexually immoral that not even the pagans tolerate this." So what does he say to do? "Ought you not rather mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit. And he has pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing." So why is this important? I bring this up because as Christians, we have been called from ungodliness into righteousness in Christ. And so in that walking in the faith, in that walking in our lives, we are to look like Jesus. You know, anyone in Christ is to look and walk like Jesus. When we are not walking like Jesus, then we are walking out of line with the Lord. And when we deny the fact that we're not walking with Jesus, when we try to hide our sin, when we try to live, you know, immorally according to God's word, then what we're doing is we're lying to ourselves. And when our brothers come to us and say, hey, look, you need to repent and come back into right standing, then we're missing a really vital opportunity to be restored back into the faith family of God.
I would say, you know, I appreciate your like using the word, what'd you say? Not in discipline, but
restoration.
I do appreciate that, the heart behind that too. I do think, because we talked about this morning at church, this is one of the things that Ryan mentioned in a sermon. I think it's really important that we recapture that discipline is actually a loving term.
Sure.
I'm this is kind of a sidetrack, but I do want to go ahead and say, we like think about these words real quick. This is out of Hebrews. Hebrews says this, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when you're reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves and chastises every son whom he receives.
Sure.
And then it goes on to say, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons.
Yeah.
For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are an illegitimate child and not a son.
Yeah.
So I do want to say, like, I really appreciate the heart behind that. But at the same time, if you're, you know, I would say I was really convicted about that to this morning and thought to myself, you know what, we need to redeem that word to be a reminder that this is an act of God's love and mercy and kindness towards us, that he would warn us of our sin.
For sure. Well, and again,
I know that's what
yeah,
you were saying.
Absolutely.
I'm not to correct you. I wasn't correcting you.
I think that's a good point.
I just wanted to chase that rabbit. On track.
Well, obviously, this, you know, with that, I think what it's a really easy way for us to understand that is that if you have children at home, you discipline them. You are going to spank them when they are disobedient. You are going to punish them and take away toys and put them a timeout or whatever it is. So parents out there will understand that discipline is good. I just think sometimes that when it comes to church discipline or church restoration mm-hmm. and restoring brothers and calling people out for sin in their lives, you know, oftentimes we hear that verse thrown back in our face, judge not lest ye be judged. Mm-hmm. And that's such a misunderstood context verse so often. And that's the problem.
You think about it, when you discipline your children, you are restoring them.
Absolutely.
You're bringing them back into right standing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So I would say another one is this, that one, we would take care of one another physically and spiritually. You think back to, I mean, that's a very practical thing. James 1:21 says, true religion is this, that you would take care of the orphans and the widows. So I really do think that practically we need one another so that we could help serve those who are the least of these or those who are in need of help, like widows and like orphans.
Yeah, I think to that same point, you know, you look at Acts chapter 4, and what does it say that the brotherhood was doing? What did it say that the believers were doing? That they came and they ate together, they prayed, they worshiped, they sang songs of joy. And then it says that they gave all that they had to the apostles to be distributed so that none was without need.
Mm.
I love that picture of the local church right then and there in the first century, that all the believers gave everything they had so that it was distributed amongst all, right? Like that's a heart of people that says, we want all of us that are in Christ to be cared for and not have anyone that was without. And I think that's a huge point of what we as the church have to be about. We've got to be about serving and loving and caring for the least of these among us.
And again, if we're talking about this being a necessity, did not Jesus participate in these things? Did he not do those things? And so if we're going to follow the example of Jesus, and we see Jesus really did that with his disciples.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, before he sent them out to plant the local church.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, to plant the churches throughout that region.
Absolutely.
So I really think that that's really key, that we would focus on these things. Like, how am I to know who's physically ill and who's in need of help if I'm never around believers and involved in their life?
Absolutely. To that same point, I think of 1 Corinthians 13, where he talks about the body of believers, right? That every person in the church, every believer in Christ has been given a gift to be utilized within the body. That the body cannot be used well and rightly if it doesn't have an arm, or if its eye is not functioning, or if its eye is not present.
Yeah, you know? Doesn't it go so far to say, is it one of your fingers, or if like one of your digits is missing?
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah.
The body feels that.
That's the extent. And so I would really encourage anyone out there that isn't participating or isn't actively a part of a local body, more than just this, not only are you missing them, they are missing you.
Yeah.
You know?
So you can flip it. You can say, you know, like the church, you really need the church. It's a necessity that we would all be a part of the church. But according to God's word, the church really needs you.
Absolutely.
You know, and like, that's not to puff us up, right? Because any good works we have ultimately come from Christ, right? Christ has redeemed us so that we would be redeemers, so that we've been reconciled so that we can be reconcilers.
Right.
Right. So it's not to boast in our own ability, like, oh, look, the church needs me. But it is to say that God, like, we have been saved for good works.
Absolutely.
Which God prepared beforehand that we would work in them. And yeah, those good works are displayed and practiced through the local church.
Yeah. I just love that mentality that you have a purpose given by God to serve and to be obedient within his body. And even more so, even outside of his body, to bring Christ to a lost people. And so he has called for his church to do this in conjunction with one another.
And I would add to that, this next point is that it's important that we become members of the local body of Christ because we have been called as a church, as a people of God, to contend for the gospel. We see Paul time and time again contending for the gospel and the church in Philippi supporting him in his contending. We see the church in Thessalonica setting an example and contending for the gospel. And we see that their example of love was set in Macedonia and Achaia, you know. So there are time and time again where we see that. And we also see a specific command in Jude chapter, there's only one chapter in Jude, Jude 3, verse 3. It says, "Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Mm. So we have been commanded, instructed as a body of believers to contend for the faith, to fight for the truth of the gospel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The last thing I would probably add is we talked about this morning. Why is local church membership, why is local church participation so important? It is so that you may be reminded of the faith that you once incurred. Be reminded of the faith that Christ gave to you, that you may be consistently, as he says in Ephesians, as Paul says in Ephesians, be washed with the word, right? If you're not with local believers, adhering and listening to a local pastor preach God's word over you so that you're saying, hey, this is how this word is to be indwelled in my heart so that I may go out into my local place and live it out in my context around my people, then you're missing out on what God has given us, and that is his word through the Bible. Why is this important? And this is what our pastor said this morning. Our heads are being filled with so much other stuff. In Romans chapter 12, you're either going to be conformed to the image of this world, or you're going to be transformed and be renewed within your mind to know what is good and what is the will of God. Mm-hmm. And the only way we can be transformed is if we are in God's word, with God's people, in the midst of the love of Christ through the body of believers. And that's what we need to be going to. If we're not being transformed, then you're going to be conformed to this world in one way or another. It's not just like a liberalism thing. It is possible to be conformed to a bad understanding of morality that the world has laid out for us. Mm-hmm. And we want to be conformed to and we want to be transformed to the right understanding of what God has for us through his word given to us by his apostles, by his servants, and by his elders that he's given to us, as we see in Ephesians chapter 4 as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just say you cannot read the Bible and think to yourself, yeah, these are a bunch of individuals just doing individual things.
Mm-hmm.
This is a nation of Israel. This is a body of believers in the New Testament.
Yep.
That we see pursuing Christ and his holiness. And I think it's just fitting to end on, in Hebrews chapter 10 for this episode. It is a command that we would gather together. And so if we're true believers, we desire, it is our longing to be obedient to the word. And this is what it says, chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Mm.
For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries.
Amen.
So,
amen.
The church is necessary for your own soul.
Amen. Absolutely.
It's evidence of our salvation.
Love it, love it, love it. Well, all right, that's going to wrap things up for us. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at The Exiles Pod, as well as private messages, any question you may want answered. You can also contact us with your questions by emailing us at theexilespod@gmail.com. We have a new podcast every Tuesday. Please, before you exit off, be sure to leave a review, share this episode, and give us a like with your friends. Until next time, peace.
You sounded like you were begging them.
Bye. Beg.
Bye.